Chief.
What?
I've got it.
The Blacklocks Report.
Nothing gets by me but the wind.
With Tom Korski.
It's Deb Hutton in for Jerry Agar, and as you just heard in that little intro, it's time for Tom Korski, managing editor of blacklocks.ca, to join the program, as he does every Thursday, to shine a light on some of the stories he uncovers and his team uncovers because they go through documents that nobody else takes the time to go through. Tom, welcome back to the Jerry Agar Show.
Oh, thank you, Deb.
So let's start with the fact that we have a dramatic increase in refugee claims from travelers from Mexico. Now, we know that the federal government has made some changes here around visas, but tell us what you uncovered and what is actually at the root of all this.
Yeah, that's really the $64,000 question, and this has come up in parliamentary hearings, and the implication has been organized crime. Let's be frank. This has been raised by some Quebec MPs and has been discussed in a very cagey way by the Minister of Immigration. Only on February 29th, Cabinet reimposed a mandatory visa for Mexican air travelers. Why would they do that? Because the asylum claims went through the roof, and it didn't make any sense. Mexico became the number one source country for people claiming asylum as refugees in Canada from Mexico. It doesn't make sense. What happened? Montreal, the number of refugee claims at Pearson, at the Trudeau International Airport, rather, in Montreal, almost half, 46%, were from Mexico. In Calgary, it was a third of the refugee claims from air passengers were Mexicans. Pearson International, pretty normal, which you'd expect, 13%. Vancouver was 12%. But when you have a third or half of air passengers who claim refugee status in Canada coming from Mexico, that's why they had a problem. They had to stop it.
Unbelievable. Like, it really, and is there anything that has happened in Mexico in the last decade that would, you know, give any explanation to that sort of massive increase in those airports specifically?
The Department of Immigration has invoked vaguely national security or police intelligence in refusing to discuss this openly. And they've said in parliamentary hearings, we don't want to discuss this openly. But the implication was these are not hard-pressed Mexican farmers getting on flights to Calgary or Montreal, stepping off the plane and saying, I want refugee status, and then I'm going to spend the next 2 years waiting for my claim to wind through the Immigration Refugee Board. The implication was these people were set up, and they were part of organized, they call it organized crime, they are organized, and that's why they brought back the visas. By the way, when we had mandatory visas on Mexican air travelers, the number of refugee claims were like 120 a year. You know how many it was over this five-year period in Montreal alone? It was a total 23,000 at one airport.
As opposed to a few hundred.
Exactly.
Wow, that's incredible. A bit of a related story. We are told that in last year alone, in Niagara Falls alone, the federal government has spent in excess of $100 million for hotel rooms for asylum seekers. And at the same time, we've got a federal minister of immigration saying, hey, I'm thinking about an amnesty for anybody who's in this country that shouldn't be. Like, the cost of our immigration system is through the roof.
It's staggering. That figure's on the level, by the way. Just before Christmas, the Senate National Finance Committee cross-examined a manager from the Department of Immigration, and she disclosed a figure, was the chief financial officer, so that's right up there.
Right.
She disclosed a figure that no one had ever heard before. You know what it was nationwide for? This is room and board for illegal immigrants and refugee claimants. $769 million a year. $750 million a year. That's not for education. That's not for, you know, wheelchair ramps at the old soldiers' home. It's not for health care. Refugee claimants and illegal immigrants. We talked to the mayor of Niagara Falls a few months back. He said, no one told us all of a sudden, food bank usage goes up 85%. That wasn't the worst part. There's literally hundreds, then thousands of kids who are being dropped off at the public school system, and they had to hire, in Niagara Falls, extra supply teachers. And you had, according to the mayor, you can imagine, and if this happened in your town, school taxpayers, rate payers saying, wait a minute, why are we paying the cost of our foreign policy? Eventually, cabinet has tried to curb illegal immigration. You would think this would be the obvious solution. But the costs, I'm with you, Deb, they are staggering.
Yeah, and you know, keep in mind that we're talking largely housing, and Tom Blacklocks, who's joining us as he does every week with Jerry to talk about some of the stories he's following. There's also the interim federal health program. So as we talk here in Ontario in particular about how crowded our operating rooms, our ER departments, etc., are, all those individuals get 1 year of free health care without paying into the system under the federal government. And that is also a huge cost.
Oh, and social assistance. You know, when we talk about immigration, we talk about the immigration quota, which last year was about 470,000, largest in history. The numbers that are rarely mentioned but are still valid are the number of temporary foreign workers. It was over 700,000 permits last year. Okay, 700 plus a half million. Now we're 1.3, and we're headed to 1.2, and on top of that, 980,000 foreign students. You're talking about 2 million foreigners, and there was no plan for that. That's why municipalities resented it, because it just drops on the provincial legislature and town council, who have to come up for millions to cover this.
And their taxpayers. I want to get to this story quickly, Tom. Apologies, we've only got about a minute and a bit left. The Canadian Embassy in Washington are a bit red-faced over a mistake. Tell us about it.
They put up banners, friendship banners. Well, who doesn't like a friendship banner? And it was a big map of Canada. Only the problem is they colored in Greenland as part of Canada. No one noticed for a week. The banners were on public display. Anyone who was walking the streets of Washington, D.C., past our beautiful, expensive embassy would have seen that we claimed sovereignty over Greenland. It took them 8 days to notice.
And how did they eventually notice?
Like, I think it's because we asked them about it.
Because Blacklocks asked them.
We were contacted by a reader who said, you're not going to believe this. And he took a photo. And the photo is beautiful. And there it is.
Yeah. So, Tom, you've been you know, around government for a long time. How does it happen?
You know, you would think that I can understand if you had a U.S. contractor supply the banner. You're in Pennsylvania. How are you supposed to know what Arctic sovereignty is about? But seven layers of managers approved that banner. And I guess they forgot the high school geography lesson. It was so long ago.
Tom Korski, managing editor of blacklocks.ca. Thanks, as always, for joining the Jerry Agar Show.